Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer and not a doubter. I am a doer and not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Say, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So we're going to continue on in our series of lessons that Pastor started a couple of weeks ago called Bigger on the Inside. And last week I had the opportunity to speak before you as well. And we talked about how we have to stop thinking that too little is not enough. You guys remember that lesson from last week? We talked about how you can win with what you have and you can do big things with little. We talked about how God is the God of your past, God of your power, God of power, God of your present. He is a God of promise. Amen. And so there were so many different ways that I could go with this lesson on today when it comes to Rocky, because he's, to me, very inspiring. And even though he's not a real person, but to me, he's almost real. Okay. I don't see Sylvester Stallone. He's the character. I see him as Rocky. His name is Rocky. He's not Sylvester Stallone. He's Rocky, right? So, but there are so many different ways I could have taken the lesson today. You know, could have went, it ain't over till he says it's over. Or, you know, hands with calcium, they still bruise, right? Or you're never too old to try. So there were so many ways I could have gone, but today I want to talk about the major thing that you're going to see in all of the Rocky movies. The major context or theme is that you have to do what it takes to win. You have to do what it takes to win. And that's where we're going to go today. So has anybody ever seen any Rocky movies? Are there any Rocky fans? Awesome. Okay. Yes. So there are a total, if you count even the two Creed movies that they just added these past couple years, there are a total of 7 Rocky movies, okay? It's the very first movie came out in 1976. I wasn't born then, but it's just something about the connection that we had. I was born in 1977. So the first movie came out in 1976, and the thing is that this movie came out of nowhere. It shocked everybody. They said that the movie was written in a total of 3 hours and filmed in 28 days, okay? 3 hours, they wrote the script, filmed the movie in 28 days, had a budget of $1 million, and it surpassed it like 3 times. So what is it about the Rocky movies that makes us keep going every time they release one? Why do we keep going to go see Rocky 2? Or what made us go see Rocky 3, Rocky 4, Rocky 5, Rocky Balboa? What made us keep going to go see these movies? And I believe that one of the main things that we got out of those movies is that we love to see the underdog win. It's the inspirational factor that we love to see the people that were counted out to still be victorious. And I don't know about you, but, you know, we didn't all have this story where my life wasn't where I had a silver spoon in my mouth. Rocky didn't have a silver spoon in his mouth. You know, he was not the most educated person. He doesn't come from an educated family. But at the end of the day, he felt that he knew that he could win against the odds. And truth be told, a lot of us have that same story that we've had to beat some odds in our lives and we have become victorious. Amen? All right. Amen. So all through scripture, we see how God used people who had issues. And guess what? We all have issues. Pastor told us that I have issues, you have issues, and what? If you don't have, all God's people have issues. And if you don't think you have an issue, guess what? Right, right. So God uses people that has issues, okay? He used Moses, who was a murderer, right? He used Abraham, who now he became the father of many nations, but he felt he had to go get some help to make God's promise come into his life. So he didn't cast him out because he messed up or took his own plan into his life. He also used David. He called David a man after God's own heart. And David was truly messed up. Several things we could say about David, but God did not change his mind about him. And guess what? You may be messed up right now too, but God has not changed his mind about you either. Amen? Amen. So, we're doing good. So, I want to give you a scripture, Psalms 118 and 22. They do not have the scripture on the screen, but I was looking at how, you know, when people try to cast you out or throw you aside or think you're not worth it, the song was so fitting today, you know, God says in Psalms 118, 22, the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. So the stone that everybody said was not going to be anything or didn't have any use or purpose, that cornerstone, that stone is the cornerstone. That means it is the foundation. Amen. It is the backbone to what is, that we're going to build upon on today. Or the foolish things that he uses the foolish things to confound or shame the wise. Okay, so Rocky, through all of these movies, he took some hard blows and had a lot of fights that were not one or two rounds. They were not one or two round fights. There were some fights that went 15 rounds. There were some rounds, some fights that went 12 rounds. And in your life, you may be in round 9 or 10 yourself, but guess what? You really can still win, all right? He had to go longer than he probably anticipated. And you may be going through a fight right now that's lasting longer than you anticipated, but if you just stay in the ring, if you stay in the fight and keep swinging, guess what? You are going to win, amen? So the key here is that we cannot get weary when we're doing good. When we're doing well, we have to make sure that we realize that in due season, we really are going to reap a harvest if we just don't quit. Amen. So we cannot stop short because we're getting tired, and we cannot stop short because it seems like it's taking forever to come to pass. We must remember that we have the greater one again fighting on the inside of us. We must be determined that we're not going to quit and we're not going to stay down, but I'm going to keep getting up every time I fall down. Amen. So the purpose of today's lesson is to encourage everyone and to remind you that the greatest fighter that has ever fought a fight is living on the inside of you, and he is there to help you do what it takes to win. We are not fighting by ourselves, but we have the greatest one. We have the greatest one on the inside of us, and that is God. That is Jesus Christ. Amen. If he has to part a Red Sea, guess what? He will part a Red Sea just for you. But you have to believe that he will make a way out of no way, make a way of escape, just for you, because he loves you that very much. Amen. So there are 5 things I'm going to talk to you today about in helping you realize that you have what it takes to win. There are 5 things we're going to talk about. And the first thing that you have to have when you're going to win or you're winning in life is you must have passion. Somebody say passion. Passion. We are passionate people, and we are passionate about a lot of things. Would you agree? We are passionate about making money. We are passionate about our family. We are passionate about getting our way. Anybody ever seen an adult have a temper tantrum? I have. And at once upon a time, I was that adult that had temper tantrums. But I believe I have matured, and I can now keep myself under control when things don't go my way. Would you agree, Pastor? Of course you would. Oh, okay. Okay, but we're passionate about a lot of things. You know, we're passionate about, some people are passionate enough. They want to know, are the Cowboys going to finally win a Super Bowl after 23 years? They want to know, are they going to win? You know, and then there were some people who are very passionate about where, you know, they were like hounding, you know, Kawhi Leonard. Where's he going to go? Where's he going to go? They spent hours trying to figure out what this man's going to do with his money. That's his money. So why are you so passionate about this man's future? But they're so passionate about other things that don't even amount to them, right? But at the end of the day, we have got to be passionate about the things that matter most and those things that matter to God. We must be passionate about what God is passionate about. You may be asking, well, what is God passionate about? I'm so glad you asked. He is passionate about his people. So we must be passionate about his people as well. Amen. So we cannot be so passionate about making sure that I'm good and God's people are not good. Amen. So let's see. He's concerned about you. He's concerned about me. And he really does have us on his mind. Did you know that we would get blessed when we become passionate about the things of God and doing things his way? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. A very familiar scripture. If you've come to this church, you've heard the scripture a lot. Matthew 6 and 33 says what? If you would seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. So if you would seek his kingdom, seek what's passionate to God. If you would do what God said, do what is passionate to him, what he loves. That is, you know, follow his way, follow his will. If you would do what is making him happy, which is his people, take care of his people, guess what? The things that you're working so hard to get, they're going to just fall in your lap. So we don't have to be so passionate about getting the cars, the cribs, and the clothes. We can be passionate about helping God's people. You know, we shouldn't turn our back on somebody that doesn't smell like us. We shouldn't turn our back on somebody that doesn't look like us. We shouldn't turn our back because they're cussing. Well, sinners are supposed to curse, right? Well, sinners, well, that's what they do. We don't supposed to cuss, right? Okay, all right. But I'm saying, even though they're not doing what we're doing because we say we're perfect, we cannot think they're less of a person, amen? Because that very person is important to God, so they should be important to us, amen? We must be a light in place of darkness. But again, we should not be blending in with the darkness, right? Okay, he has prepared a place, amen? So we should be passionate about God's people. We should not be, again, all about making sure that I'm good and my neighbor is suffering. We should make sure that we are able, that we are willing to lend to them if they need something, if we are in a position to lend. Amen? So he has prepared a place for us to live with him forever because he loves us so much. Because he loves us so much. Because he cares about us. So, you know, a lot of you may know that Pastor and I, we're in the middle of a renovation project at our house. And so we have this upstairs room that we call our media room. And in the media room, we've had these long couches that the kids just love to lay on. They love laying on these couches. And so Pastor has said that he's not going to make, he's taking that room over. It's going to be his den. And so so he's going to make it where he go and watch his Cowboys play on Sunday evenings. And so he's getting theater-style chairs in the room. And so he texted me the other day because we're trying to clear the room out because we're doing some other things to the room. And he texted me and he said, well, Jay doesn't want to get rid of the couches. And so I'm like, okay. So so I said, well, you tell Jay that we are preparing for life after Jay. Jay has 2 years left in the house, okay? So we're going to go ahead and move forward with our plan because he's going to be leaving soon. Well, I got to thinking about that when I did my lesson today. God doesn't do us like that. He prepares a place for us to live with him forever. And so I'm so happy that he doesn't treat us like we treat our kids. Because some of us are like, you got 2 years, buddy, and you're out of here. You know? How many start planning, right, with those extra rooms you start getting? Because they're not going to be here. But God says, you know what? I care so much about you. I'm going to design it the way I know my child likes it because she's going to be with me forever. So that's the kind of God that we serve. He is so passionate about us that he would give us, you know, what we want in heaven to have so we can enjoy it, amen? And he's going to make us so comfortable because we're going to be with him forever, amen? So he's going to have us so comfortable, amen? So let's make sure we make our kids comfortable here on earth while they're with us. I just had to throw that in there. I'm sure the kids are like, yes, Mom, make it comfortable for me. But we should go out of our way to make sure that God's people are good because he goes out of his way to make sure that we're good, right? So the first thing was, again, we must make sure that we have passion. We must have the passion or share the passion that God has for people. We must have that same passion. The second thing we must have to win is we must have partnership. Pastor always teaches us that, you know, if you want to go fast, you do what? Go by yourself. But if you want to go far, you take somebody with you. You go together, amen? Because no one really can do anything on their own. There are some things we can do in our own power, but you really, really need people. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, it says what? Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Everybody needs somebody. This whole thing of I can do bad by myself, well, you really can do bad by yourself, but you can do great with somebody helping you. Right? You can do bad by yourself, but you can do great if somebody's helping you, if you will accept the help. Amen? But the fact is, you cannot go through life without critical people and partnerships. At the end of every one of Rocky's movies or every one of his fights, he calls out one word or one name, and that's what? Adrian! Yes! I'm a Rocky fan. He calls out Adrian. Why? Because he knew that Adrian was there to support him. Adrian saw him in his weakest moments, but she didn't turn her back on him. Adrian saw him when he was, you know, tired, just didn't want to keep going, but she was there to support him, push him. You can do it. You can win. Y'all remember that movie? Okay. Yes. You can win. So guess what? You got to find you an Adrian. That's going to push you, that's going to support you, that can help you get back up when you fall down. Again, because there is power in numbers. There is strength in numbers. And no matter how tough or how strong you think you are, there are some times where you are really going to need a hand. There is no, that is not doubt, but that is reality. Because the Bible tells us that we are going to have tests, trials, and tribulations. Amen? So one day you are going to meet your Goliath. One day you're going to meet your Clubber Lang. One day you're going to meet your Ivan Drago. Those are some of Rocky's opponents, okay? Okay, that day is going to come where you're going to meet those persons. But the thing is, you're going to need the prayers of agreement, the shoulders, the support, and somebody's handkerchief to dry your eyes. You cannot always think you could do it all by yourself when God says, I have surrounded you with people who love you and who are here to help you win, amen? So it doesn't matter it really does matter who that somebody is. Look at your friends and you'll see your future. So it matters who that somebody is that you're going to partner with. Amen? Because you need partnerships with people who are going to help you and not hinder you. You need partnerships with people who are going to push you forward and not pull you backwards. And you need partnerships with people who are going to check you and celebrate you and not try to choke the life out of you. So you got to make sure that you know who you are partnering with. Get to somebody who is full of faith, who's going to speak the word of God and not stroke your ego. Amen. Somebody that's going to tell you the truth of the matter and help you know that you really can do this. Because at the end of the day, you must remember that who is praying for you. And guess who's praying for you? Jesus is praying for you. Right now, he is on the right hand of the Father interceding on your behalf because he loves you and he's concerned about you. Amen. The things that concern you, they concern him. And he is praying for you right now. He's praying for me right now. Now, thank you, Holy Spirit, all right? But he is at the right hand right now praying for each and every one of us because, again, he knows what is in you because, if you're in this battle, that means you can handle it. So the thing is, you just got to push through and keep realizing that the greater one, again, is on the inside fighting with you. So number one, we needed what? Passion. Number two, we need a partnership. And number three, we got to have a plan. So some of the most inspirational parts of every Rocky movie are the workout scenes. He's running down the street in his hoodie. Dun, 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 dun. You know? So that's, everybody gets motivated. Tens of thousands of people every day say, you know what? I'm going to train like Rocky. I'm getting up at a dark 30, how you guys say it in the military? Zero dark 30, yeah. I'm getting up first thing in the morning. I'm going to get me a raw egg, drink it out of the cup, and I'm going on my way. That's what Rocky does in the movies. Okay. All right. So, but I'm not drinking no raw egg. I don't know about y'all. Okay. But it makes us think that the eye of the tiger comes on. I can do this. This is not hard. This is easy. I'm going to lose 45 pounds tomorrow. But no boxer goes into a ring without studying his opponent, without having a plan. They come up with a game plan. They study who they're going to fight, what they need to defeat that opponent. So we all have to have a plan because things do not just happen. They must be planned. Amen. And the Bible tells us that faith without works or a workable plan is dead. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. Habakkuk 2 and 2 says to write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. So there are two things I want to share with you about a plan today. The first thing I want to share with you is that a plan is a part of the faith process. So we have to have a plan because it's part of the faith process. We cannot think that it's just going to happen. No, it has to be planned. You're going to live in your future, so you might as well plan your future, right? So you think about, you're trying to lose weight, right? We'll use that as for right now. The plan is to get out of debt or to lose weight. We have to write down the plan. In Habakkuk 2, it tells us to make it plain, right? So the thing is, the plan is part of the faith process. When we start moving forward, God will start assisting us with that plan. But if we don't move forward, he cannot. We don't need our faith. We're not using our faith for him to step in and to help us along the way. So as we start moving forward again, faith is now in motion, and God comes in and he breathes his supernatural power on our natural abilities, and then we begin to see the manifestation of what we've been believing for. So again, if the plan is to get out of debt or to lose weight or to strengthen your relationship with your spouse, you have to have a plan. You know, you can't say, well, if he mean to me, mean to him. No, we got to have a plan of how we're going to strengthen that relationship. I'm going to still love when he's hating. I'm going to still serve him. That's my job as a wife. I'm going to do all I can to win him over because I realize that this is my faith at stake here. And I will know that I want this relationship to be strengthened. So I'm going to do all I can so that God can intervene in the middle of it. Amen. So we've got to have a plan. And then it says the second thing you must remember with a plan is that it must be flexible and it must be believable. So sometimes you have to make adjustments to the plan. You know, sometimes you may have to do things that, you know, may be uncomfortable in the beginning, but at the end of the day, I know that I'm not going to waver because I know that my faith has to manifest in this thing, so I'm going to do what it takes to make it come to pass, amen? And it has to be believable. You can't, again, think I'm going to lose 45 pounds in a day. That's not believable, right? You have to be real about this thing, right? You can't just be thinking that, oh, something magical is going to happen out of the sky. No, I have to have a believable plan because it has to be reality. Amen. So, proper planning prevents what? Poor performance. Proverbs 21 and 5 says that good planning and hard work, it leads us to prosperity. And the thing is, if we are not planning, you really are planning. Because if we fail to plan, we're planning to fail. So if you're not planning anything, you really are planning to fail at this moment, all right? So you have to make sure that you count up the cost. It's like going on a vacation. Anybody went on a vacation before, right? When you're making a plan to go on vacation, the first thing you have to know is where you're planning on going. Well, some people get in their car and say, well, I'm just going to drive wherever the car takes me. Well, you do that. You know, everybody can't just get in the car and drive where it takes you. But you have to have a plan, right? Where are we planning on going? How long am I going to be there? How much is it going to cost me to go there? Do I have the money to go right now? Because if you don't think about it, if you haven't saved up, you're not going to go too far because you don't want to go on vacation and you can't eat, right? Because you haven't counted up the cost. You have to have a plan. How much is it going to cost for me to be gone this X amount of days? How am I going to do anything when I get there? Because there's things called excursions. You may want to go see a movie. So you have to plan things in order for things to be successful. Amen? So the good thing, too, is that even God has plans. Jeremiah 29:11. What are God's plans? He says, I have plans for good and not for disaster for your life, to give you a future and a hope. So God plans. We need to plan. And the good thing about God's plan is that, guess what? You're not going to be left alone. You're not going to be put in a place of detriment. You're not going to be a place of lack, but you're going to have a future and a hope. So even our God plans, so we should plan. Amen? So number one was what? It was passion, right? Number two, we must have partnership. The third thing was we must plan. And then number four is we must have a pace. We must pace ourselves along this walk of faith as because we're winning. Amen? Fighters, they don't train just for strength, but they train for stamina. They don't just train for strength, they train for stamina. For a great boxer, it's not only about how hard he can hit, but it's really about how long can he go. How long can he stay in the fight? You have got to have a pace, amen? It's all about endurance. And the wonderful thing about a Christian is that we have some wonderful examples of those who endured hardships. They fought the fight of faith, that they gave us hope that we too can make it. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Are you being blessed so far? Amen. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us do what? Strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with what? Endurance, the race that God has set before us. So again, it's all about endurance. It's all about how long are we going to last. So the scripture shows us two things that can really mess up our pace. Two things that can mess up your pace. The first thing is the weight. And the weight is those things in your life that are not necessarily sinful. They're not necessarily helpful. So they're not necessarily sinful, but they're not helpful. So a person that is training, you know, he's not going to eat cheesecake. Because it's not a sin to go eat cheesecake if you're training, right? But it ain't going to help you in the end because you're trying to really make sure that you are getting your body in shape for this fight. And I thought about also, you know, as a Christian, you know, let's think, if you're a Christian dater, if you're dating and you're Christian, right? Being alone with your friend that you're with is not sinful. But it's not helpful either if you're always together by yourselves, right? Am I right or am I wrong? So, late at night, right? You know, because sometimes, you know, things happen late at night. Sometimes I see y'all in the morning too, but at the end of the day, you don't want to be by yourself with somebody too long at the wrong times, right? So it's not a sin because y'all by yourselves, but it's not helpful if you have an issue in that area, right? Okay, so it's a weight, right? Okay. So there are things that, you know, in our life as Christians that where we're going to really have to make decisions of, is this really taken away from my Christian walk? It's not necessarily a sin, but it's taken away. So the second thing is, the first thing was the weight, and the second thing are the sin issues. So a lot of times Christians look at, you know, things I need to add to my life. I need to start reading my Bible. I need to start going to church. I need to start praying. And that is so true. We should start adding all those things to our lives. We must not forget to start taking away some things as well, right? Because we don't equally consider the things that we should start subtracting from our lives. And as a fighter, what they do is they don't just build up their bodies, but they start protecting their body. They know that there are some things that they just cannot allow into their bodies if they're going to be ready for the fight. Amen? So it's time for us to rid ourselves of the things that are slowing down our pace or tripping us up that we have been hesitant to face. So there are some things that we can no longer just say, you know what, I just got to handle this thing now because it's been too long that I'm having the same issues over and over again. So remember last week I told you that you will never conquer anything that you're not big enough to confront. And God will give you the power to overcome that moment that you get the courage to confront it. So we have to make sure that we're no longer just, you know, realizing, okay, I know it's there, but it's okay. No, it's there. It's time to get rid of it, right? So we don't want to have anything that's going to hinder us or slow us on our pace, all right? So the first thing was passion, right? Passion. Then we have to have what? Partnership. We have to have a plan. And we have to have a pace. And number five, and I'm almost done, is we have got to have persistence. We have to have persistence. We've got to be persistent. You know, we have, again, I just showed you in Hebrews 12 about how we have this cloud of witnesses that have gone before us and they fought the fight of faith. Guess what? We have these people that we can really draw strength from because they patiently persisted. It wasn't always easy. And these are not just people that we read about that they're fictitious. These are real life accounts of people that really went through and they were victorious in life. Amen. They were persistent in faith. I thought about in Hebrews 11 how it says how by faith Abel offered up to God a more excellent sacrifice. Thought about how by faith Abraham, how Sarah, how all these people, they through faith, they won because they did not quit. Amen. So we have to have that same tenacious attitude. I'm going to be persistent and I know that I'm going to win in life. Let's read Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25. Proverbs 4 and 25, and it says, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet and stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked, but keep your feet from following evil. So here it tells us if we would keep our eyes focused on our goal, if we would keep our eyes focused on what God has called us to do, then we will get through it. But we have to be persistent. It doesn't matter what tries to tug on us on the left or tug on us on the right. I'm going to keep my eyes focused on what I'm trying to accomplish so that I can get to a common goal. I was reminded of Apostle Paul when he said that he ran his race. He finished his course. Guess why? Because he was persistent. I was reminded of the story or the parable that Jesus told of the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18. She kept coming to the judge saying, avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. He said, man, son, you girl, go sit down somewhere. She kept coming to him time and time again. He was a judge who did not, it said that he did not fear God or man. He didn't care what man said or what God said. I said, no, go sit down. I'm not doing anything. So she kept coming persistently, time after time again, avenge me of my adversary. And so the judge eventually said, because the widow woman keeps bothering me, I'm going to give her justice. So guess what? You got to keep bothering the devil, keep bothering whatever it is, and be persistent until you realize, you know what? I'm not going to quit until I get what I'm after for in my faith. Amen? So come what may, I don't care. I'm not going to quit. It may be 10 years for you to get your degree, but you keep going to school. You go to school every day, you go to class every day, pay your tuition every year until you get your degree, if that's what your desire is. It doesn't matter if you're 75. You can still remarry if you want to remarry. It's a matter of what you want in your heart, amen? I'm also reminded of a pastor born in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Became a pastor here in New Bern, North Carolina. He was persistent about this building. No after no after no. He did not waver in his faith. 27 no's, I think it was, and counting probably. But he said, no, I know that God told me to build this church. So guess what? He kept going. No, I said no. He didn't say, okay, maybe God didn't talk to me. No, he knew he had heard God's voice. And guess what? I'm going to keep going until I see the manifestation of what I know God put in my heart. And in your life, you got to keep going until you see the manifestation of what God has placed in your heart. My last scripture, and I'm going to be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Keep your eyes open. Hold tight to your convictions and give it all you've got. Be resolute. Keep your eyes open. Hold tight to your convictions and give it all you've got. No more are we going to keep half-stepping. Do a little bit here, then we stop. Well, I did good for 2 months. No, we're going to keep going. We're going to give it all I've got because I know I realize that if I just don't quit, I really am going to win this thing. Amen? So at the end of the day, if you will fix your eyes on a prize, focus your passion on the pursuit, stand firm against the enemy, and stay faithful, you are going to see the victory show up in your life. So the opening clip of the video said, it ain't about how hard you hit, but it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. So I'm here to tell you today that you can keep moving forward because you have what it takes to win.